When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He's the pride of Fairbury, an average Joe. Bill Dolman, the professor.
I had a 6 ACT in 1967. One time I got an A and my grandma beat me for cheating.
Now with Hale Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time at Tower 2. It's Hale Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark, Bill Dolman, pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports, the professor is with us, and it has been a hell of a day with inclement weather and tornadic activity. We have an update for our friends at Garner Industries and the tornado that it hit right around 3 o'clock east of Lincoln on 70th and Cornhusker, just north of there. And a report we're getting from our media partner 1011 is that three injured.
Three injuries have been reported.
Reported from Garner Industries. We know more storms rolling through the Midtown region of Omaha. We know that 30 to 40 homes dismantled in Elkhorn, and we are praying for folks up there. We bring in Bill Dolman. Bill, you've been around Nebraska a long time. You've seen your fair share of storms growing up in the Fairbury region. We had a few folks that also grew up in Fairbury chime in on the stream here, but just a weird day. I mean, I was thinking back that you had the other great flood canceled Nebraska's spring game back in 2011, I believe. But it's just, this was predicted, but it actually happened, and it is happening today.
And an even greater force than what had been predicted. It's stunning to see some of the videos that are out there today. It looks like movie generated, you know, maybe AI generated. Some of the videos of the folks took on I-80 as the storms made their way from North Lincoln up the interstate, and people just sitting in their cars under overpasses, trying to wait things out because they're so vulnerable out there. And then to see those storms, what looked just to be, maybe the perception is different, but it looked like they're just a few hundred yards away and you're just vulnerable. But to get the videos like that and for people to see, you know, I'm in downtown Lincoln and went to lunch and walking back, all of a sudden the winds picked up. It's kind of hauntingly. Now, we weren't really just had heavy rain downtown. So when I turned on the show and I heard that it was, you know, 70th and Cornhusker Highway in Lincoln, it's amazing how different it can be just a mile or so, a couple of miles away from where you are. And I saw your video outside the KFOR news area. Just amazing video by so many. The only thing I can really compare to it for myself, I was doing a football game in West Texas about 5-6 years ago. And threatening skies all day, and they elected to try and play the game. And you could see the funnel clouds, much like what you posted earlier, in the distance and then getting closer and closer and closer, and the winds coming through and the rain. And finally, they ended up canceling the game that night. But amazing stuff, devastating stuff. And you realize, you know, how insignificant things are at a time like this. I do want to say this kind of about the business. And you know, we live in an era when there are so many options for media and choices for media and entertainment, and the ability to tune out things that you may not want to hear, may not want to know about, just focus on you know, niche things. But there still is a need for local journalism, local radio, local television to bring the immediacy of what's happening in a community. In the way that Jeff Motes and you guys have done, the folks at Channel 10 have done today, KLKN, you know, you can be in a big metropolitan market and may not be, you know, have almost a tangible touch with the community when you're in the media. When you're in Denver, as I've been, Houston, as I've been, major markets and major cities. But when you're in a community like Lincoln and Omaha and the state of Nebraska, the immediacy that people have to their media members and the trust that they put in the voices of you and Jeff Motes and others, it is so important that people have that resource to go to tell them what is happening in the moment, to take the earbuds out and turn it on old-fashioned AM radio, right? And so I can't stress that enough, how important it is that, you know, you don't lose track of those community resources like local radio and television. And, you know, Jeff and you and Elijah, you know, Connor's been around Lincoln now for a long time. You know, I can remember the days when Dale Johnson was in that newsroom and Ward Jacobson and Scott Young and people in KFOR. And, you know, and you've got competition across town and they have their audiences too. But people trust the news, the weather, the sports, their community to your voices, and it still matters. And so good on you guys to report what's happening in Omaha, to give people in South Lincoln and downtown Lincoln an understanding of what's happening in North and Northeast Lincoln, and the service that, you know, radio provides, the oldest really form of communication, you know, the modern era, it's still a big deal. And I hope people can appreciate what the job you all have done. And sometimes you got to put on a different hat. This is a fun sports show. And I can remember doing Lincoln Salt Dogs games. And we'd have bad weather in the area. And being on the air with KFOR, and Dale Johnson would say, call up and say, what's going on down there? You know, and you become a voice of Lincoln in another way. And you're part of a community. So I hope people appreciate that. And we'll continue to rely on you guys and Jeff and his staff for everything that they need to know. Because I know that you guys and we'll do everything you can to get them what they need.
And one more report to make along those lines, Bill. Some early preliminary data coming in. This is all radar indicated, so it should be noted this is not stuff that has been on the ground. But the radar has indicated that the rotational velocity of the tornado that just hit both Elkhorn and Gretna had a rotational speed of 112, which would put it among the top 20 rotational velocities all time recorded among tornadoes in the United States. For what it's worth, a number above 70 gets at the catastrophic tag. Again, this one at 112. So it may have just been an absolutely catastrophic tornado of historical proportions that we have seen in the Omaha area today. That is very preliminary reports. That comes from radar. So that is not as infallible as actually data on the ground while this tornado was touched down. But some early reports indicating that this tornado may have been one of the strongest we've seen, not only in Nebraska history, but in the country's history. I don't want to be too dramatic with that because that is still just preliminary reports, but that is the latest that we're seeing from some National Weather Services.
Bill Dolman's with us, NBC Sports, Pride of Fairbury, the professor, Tail Varsity Radio. Bill, to shift a little bit from the news of the day, and that's been tornadoes and the weather, and thank you for the kind words about radio and coverage and Motsi's incredible. Football tomorrow, 11 o'clock, and let's go there for a moment. And, you know, you kind of run down some of the storylines. Yes, the quarterbacks. Yes, the recruiting impact, your favorite topic, recruiting. Turnovers, can you take care of the ball compared to a year ago? What's the defense look like? But I really like what Matt Rhule laid out yesterday. And that was the Tuesday and Thursday Huskers. He loved coaching. And he loved his kids, but the difference between Tuesday, Thursday, and then that Saturday spotlight, he is all about preparation for this football team in those moments, though that fourth quarter DNA winning those close ball games, right? You're chasing three. Well, how do these guys, young guys, talented guys, guys that need to log more snaps, handle the moment tomorrow in front of 60,000?
But I think one of the significant things about things being better on Saturdays this year as opposed to last year, and even, you know, maybe during the course of this spring ball when they've had some scrimmages, look, Nebraska's depth is better. You know, remember last year, the Minnesota game, we all kind of marveled and thought this is going to be a season-long theme. That defense played, what, 25 guys in week one and another 23 defensively in week two. Well, that's a lot of depth. That's a lot of players. That's keeping a lot of players fresh. But it was still a young team, and maybe not everybody that was getting those snaps was seasoned enough and experienced enough to make that they were, you know, the top 11 and the second 11 were similar. Maybe there was a difference. You were just getting fresh bodies in there. Now you've got guys who have experience. So if on Saturday, maybe 1 through 11 aren't quite getting it done, 11 through 22 can. So I think there's enough competition and there's more depth to that you can rely on experienced depth, talented depth to carry you through in, on those Saturdays when things may not be going, you know, quite that well. So I think that's going to be a significant thing. And I think you're going to see a ton of people on the field tomorrow that, you know, maybe making their last appearance, you know, as a Nebraska football player. And maybe this is Matt Rhule's, you know, opportunity to give those guys snaps and say, you know, are you, this going to be a great fit for us? And is this going to be a great fit for you? And if it's not, you got a lot of tape to take with you wherever it is that you want to go.
Well, yesterday, too, Coach said a lot of stuff about communicating within the crowds, making sure that everybody's comfortable with the crowds, because he highlighted the fact that there's a 66% chance that they start a freshman week one, and how are they going to handle said atmosphere of going on the road and doing everything that's, you know, comes along with Big Ten football. How much do you think the spring game can really emulate that? Because I know a lot of people are going to go regardless. And how important is that, too? Because he also said that he doesn't want to see, you know, people dropping the ball late in the game like he did last year as well. So how can those two areas be affected tomorrow?
Well, I don't think you can replicate it. If the crowd is what it was expected to be, now, you know, there's weather possibilities for tomorrow, and there may be some people who just aren't feeling it right now, given what's transpired today. So, still, other than Heinrich Harburg at quarterback, I mean, the other two are going to play in front of the biggest crowd they've ever played in front of. But it's still a spring game. As much as Matt Rhule says, I want this to be a game, it's still, we're still talking about practice. And it's a show. And as I mentioned on the Average Joe Sports Show, it's a Logo 3 show. They're going to be showcasing the speed of the receivers, the arms of the quarterbacks, and they're going to be, you know, shooting from long range and making a show of it. And that's fine. But it's still going to be the big stage. Nebraska, for those young quarterbacks, the benefit is going to be in the fall, because I think Nebraska's first 12 to 15 games are all at home. I don't know when they go. They don't go on the road till like mid-October or something. So they're going to get acclimated. They're going to get acclimated to big crowds. They're going to get acclimated to an opposing team and the speed of a different team, all of that. So it's not as though they are opening up with a freshman quarterback at Minnesota or at where they play in Ireland. You know, they're opening up at home against Utah. They're going to play their second game at home against an 0-1 Colorado team. They're going to play their third game at Nebraska with a little bit of momentum, and everybody's going to be feeling good. So tomorrow's just, again, it's rehearsal, right? It's going to be, if everything goes through, it'll be a fun day. And again, I take away the gravity of the situation today, just in terms of what's going to take place tomorrow. It's an opportunity for them to do something a little bit different than they have the last month. And I think, you look, those guys are mature. Dylan Raiola is, not only is he a special physical athlete, you know, I've met him, you guys have been around him. He's a sharp guy, and he's been coached up by mom and dad, comes from a great family. I don't think the moment is going to be too big for Dylan. And I think we've all been very impressed by Danny Kalen and the way he goes about his business too. So I don't think any moment's going to be really too big for those guys.
Bill, we might keep you for a couple of minutes after this segment. Just get kind of a quick take on some NFL draft wows as well. But my biggest thing tomorrow is I want to see what Harburg looks like. I kind of expect this, right? Not that I'm making decisions or have any insight, but you're right. Dylan's special. I expect him to do normal things at a high level. That's complete. Third and three or third and four or third and eight out routes at a 70-80% clip. I think you've got a good one, okay? I think Danny Kalen will be a guy you see play, but maybe redshirt if he doesn't win the job, right? And we got to say that because there's going to be no decision, presumably, till August. I want to see Harburg, because this guy's busted his ass. This guy's put the work in. He was a warrior for you physically, carrying the football, and figure out a way to score on offense twice a game. And he did it with his legs more times than not, or the threat of his legs with the deep pass. About 60 seconds here. Harburg in the motion. Can he stay within that new mechanical framework that Coach Thomas has set up for him?
Well, and keep in mind, too, Harburg got beat up last year. Part of it was that he took a licking running the ball a lot because he had to, and part of it was because, you know, he didn't have, you know, the greatest protection in the world. But let's face it, Nebraska has the best tight end playing quarterback in the country. There's no question about it. I think his quarterback skills with a dedicated quarterback coach, they're going to be better, okay? But I still think his greatest value to Nebraska is at the H-back type position where they're going to utilize his athletic ability and be the Swiss Army knife quarterback when called upon. But I think he made huge improvements from his freshman year when everybody forgot about him to what he was able to do last year when Nebraska needed him. He'll be better, and he's had competition too. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any competition last year, let's face it. And most of the turnovers are gone now.
Well, that's the hope if you're a Nebraska fan. You had about 6 to 8 of them last spring game. Bill, hang tight. We'll get some NFL thoughts, NFL draft thoughts here in just a second. All right. Bill Dolman with us. He is in downtown Lincoln to start off the segment. Bill kind of gave us an update about what downtown Lincoln went through with the severe weather that rolled through. Of course, the tornado east of Lincoln around the 3 o'clock hour. And the damage that has been just horrific in Elkhorn and in parts of Omaha. So we'll have some updates with the weather and the aftermath of that as we move forward.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, it's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark. We had some thoughts from Bill Dolman. He carries over some overtime with us for the spring game, and Bill gave us an update on the weather he experienced in downtown Lincoln today on campus. Lots of social media posts, great coverage locally here. Our home station, KFOR, and we're thinking of those in Omaha. Lots of significant damage to the west side of Elkhorn, Nebraska, multiple injuries. As you have recovery and response going on, 218th in Maple Region, 215th in Old Coach Road. And we'll keep you updated. We're thinking of our friends in Omaha and Elkhorn and Gretna, the eastern part of Nebraska. We're thinking of our friends at Garner Industries East in Lincoln is where the tornado went through about 3 o'clock or so. And Cliff checks in. He says his friends on Waverly Road are okay. He was reaching out to some loved ones back here in Nebraska. Bill, you're with us here, and you've laid out just what kind of day it's been, and the afterthought, the aftermath is not going to be about football. It's going to be about Nebraskans helping Nebraskans, first responders, law enforcement, fire department, all those great folks who put others first responding here the next 24 hours.
And, you know, I know there's been some talk as to whether will the spring game be played tomorrow. And I got to believe that the answer is yes. You've got softball, you've got baseball, and you've got Nebraska football. And I certainly don't, you know, it's tough to bring up, you know, the post 9/11 game against Rice. And then you have this with this devastating tornado. But what I'm saying is that when it comes to bringing people together, Nebraska football, Nebraska athletics, you know, has a way of bringing that community I was talking about earlier together. And I think what you might see tomorrow, and I think there's no question about it, there will be an effort from the Nebraska athletic department to, I think, call to arms to Nebraskans to help Nebraskans. Be it, you know, people affected directly in Elkhorn or to first responders in some way. But that's one of the things about this state that is so special, that when it is time to prove what, you know, community is all about, this state from Omaha to Scotts Bluff and Fairbury to Valentine and, you know, all parts in between, people care about each other around here. And yeah, it's in the immediacy. It's in 24 hours. And sure, the weather might be, you know, not great tomorrow. I think you'll see an effort to, you know, bring the state together and see what people can do collectively, probably with dollars, to help out those affected and those who are going to be doing a lot of work over the next several weeks. And that's what's special about this state and this program. That's why, you know, it is so important to people around here, because they do respond in the right way.
One of the things that I'm thinking about today, Bill, is sometimes you have to sit back and say, man, it's just football that they're playing tomorrow. Does it really matter? But then you also have to think back to, like, the nature of what sports is within our society being an escape, the cathartic nature of sports, and that the spring game might be exactly what the people of the state need tomorrow following such a tragic day like today.
Yeah, there'll be a catharsis, perhaps, but it won't be a move on. It'll be move beyond. It'll be what can we do to move and help.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I love about this state. It is the term community applies nowhere better than the state of Nebraska. And in the aftermath, 24 hours or 2 weeks, as was the case, you know, 24 years ago or so, 23 years ago, it's the community, and it's a way of moving forward together. And that's what I expect tomorrow at all venues.
Well, and Nebraska will reach out and help Nebraskans for sure. Bill, let's get NFL draft thoughts. And I loved it, and I know that everyone's shot arrows at Atlanta, but I love Michael Penix. I hope he has a great career. I think he's an amazing kid. Enjoyed covering him at Big Ten Media Days when he was at Indiana. I know you spent a boatload on Kirk Cousins. He isn't young, but there's been a lot of blowback on Atlanta's decision. But Penix was a surprise. I love Harbaugh picking Joe Alt. I think he's an amazing tackle. Saw a bunch of tackles go in the first round. McCarthy to Minnesota. All Viking fans I talked to did the old Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber dry heave at the top of the mountain.
Schmitty, I told you before we left the single bear yesterday that I liked Bo Nix.
I know.
The Broncos get Bo Nix.
I like Bo Nix, too. I like Bo Nix, too. And if I'm Minnesota, that's who I take instead of JJ. Watch us all be wrong. We'll burn the tape. But
say it with me, Elijah. You get Bo.
I mean,
I'll tell you this. I was worried about the Broncos and their ineptitude in recent years to take Bo Callahan and not Bo Nix. So I'm with Elijah. I think Bo Nix is maybe the best quarterback selection of the first round, and I think that the Chicago Bears should have been the ones to take Michael Penix. But anyway, that's my opinion, because I'm not exactly sure the Bears got the guy that they needed with the number one pick in the draft. Shall I just say that? I don't think that they got the right quarterback for the Chicago Bears, because they thought they got the right guy for the Chicago Bears when they drafted Justin Felix. I think that they drafted a celebrity. I don't think they drafted a long-term great NFL quarterback.
Really? You're not in on Williams?
I'm not.
Well, we've missed on quarterbacks literally our entire existence.
If anybody knows how to miss on quarterbacks, it would be the Bears.
It is the Chicago Bears.
I think that they might just be trying to make sure that they maintain that that tradition, so good on them.
They want to keep picking high is what you're saying. Bill?
All I'm saying, there's only one quarterback in the draft last night that had a drop-adjusted completion percentage over 80%, and it's Bo Nix. Bo Nix, if you take out all the drops, his completion percentage was over 80%. Now, 90% of those passes were screens and bubbles and whatnot. But hey.
And then think about this, too. With all the quarterbacks that went, and I think that today they're going to announce that they're no longer playing defense in the NFL. So it's just going to be 11 guys on one side. So that's why nobody from the defense is except for Dallas Turner, got selected. But you notice the top four quarterbacks, or four of the top six quarterbacks that went, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and Michael Penix, all in common, all transferred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so difficult to be thinking about the era of college football that we're in. You know, Drake May played, 3 years in North Carolina, so he didn't stick it even out all 4 years, but at least he was a one-school guy.
Carolina's had a run of three quarterbacks go in the first round, and they've not really panned out.
Yeah.
Mitchell.
But that's the era that we're in.
So, but yay or nay on Penix in Atlanta real quick?
Well, I think it's what, you know, they look at what Green Bay did over the years.
Yeah.
with, you know, and go back to Steve Young and Joe Montana. You know, you've got somebody that can, you know, grow for a couple of seasons under an aging veteran quarterback.
Marvin Rogers.
By the way, he's coming off of an injury. Now, Penix will be 27 if he takes over in 2 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, they look at what Jordan Love did waiting on, for Rogers, and then if called upon, you know, he was able – when called upon, he was able to perform. I tend to think that that has to be what they're thinking.
My problem with how the Falcons approached that draft last night is you just signed a dude for $180 million.
Yeah.
And you
but
said
he's old and he's coming off an Achilles.
And yet you've said in your first draft, hey, well, either way.
By
one,
the way, they didn't tell him.
Sign him.
It's either a mistake to sign him for $180 million if you aren't sure that's a guy you can build around for 4 years, or it's a mistake to go get yourself a backup plan instead of building around the guy that you just invested $180 million into.
I
go pick up a defender.
Agree.
Trade back a couple spots and get yourself one of the three or four great cornerbacks they had or edge rushers. It makes no sense to me from the Falcons' point of view to go offensive whenever you just invested $180 million into your offense.
I agree.
Do you think, guys, do you think Penix, aside from the injuries, do you think he graded? Would he have lasted? I mean, if push comes to shove, would Minnesota want Penix over
McCarthy?
Would
he wouldn't have made it past the Raiders.
Would they want Denver? Would Denver want Penix over Knicks?
The Broncos wanted Knicks from the start.
I think of all the teams that got the guy they wanted,
it's Denver.
I think the Broncos are more sure about Bo Nix than perhaps even the Bears are. They're hoping Caleb Williams is who they think that he is and not the celebrity that he's been made out to be in Los Angeles. I think New England probably likes Drake May, but it's like, what do they have around him? And they got a brand new coach. I mean, there are so many unknowns for May, who might be a great quarterback someplace else down the road, but he's going into a situation that is completely in the unknown. But I think the Broncos did great. I get the Falcons thing. It was a shocker. I thought they were going to go defense and get Turner, but because you have Raheem Morris, right?
Yeah,
he's a defensive coach, but I think
Arthur,
they looked at
Arthur
Green
Blank's
Bay.
Clearly like, what the hell did we just do?
You went to Lowe's and bought something? I own home, you know.
Well, Bill, real quick, if you're so out on Williams, I'm really curious to get your thoughts on Odunze with the ninth pick for the Bears.
I thought that was a great pick.
I think in any other year, Odunze would have been the number one wide receiver off the board.
Yeah, I think that was a great pick for Chicago. I just think that Caleb Williams is into the celebrity of being a celebrity as a professional athlete, and that's I think that can be a real detriment.
But what if he's good? That's the question we ask ourselves. What if he's good?
And eventually, you know, eventually the NFL game is so fast, and eventually they figure you out. And unless you're Lamar Jackson and you've got incredible athletic ability, and you just always stay one step ahead, I'm not sure he's got the video game moves that are going to last in the NFL.
Bill, I'll just say, book it now. The Bears are a wild card team in 2024.
I don't think
that's a bold prediction. They have weapons everywhere for Caleb Williams. Like, if you talk about an ideal landing spot for a number one quarterback to go into, you have three guys at wide receiver. Keenan Allen has been a number one wide receiver.
Their line's better.
DJ Moore's
an ideal landing spot for quarterback.
How about this?
DJ Moore's been a number one wide receiver. Keenan Allen's been a number one wide receiver. Adunze's number one wide receiver potential.
Cole
Kmet's a solid tight end. A number one quarterback hasn't walked into a situation like that in a long, long time.
Here's where the Bears are going to get it right finally at quarterback. And our good friend Gary Sharp on the Average Joe Sports Show kind of alluded to this once before. I'm just going to add to it and say, with the first pick of the 2027 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Dylan Raiola.
Yeah,
boom. Let's just start it now. Bill, we will see you tomorrow.
Caleb Williams will be off to the Carolina Panthers.
For an eighth round pick.
Yeah.
Bill, no, they're going to stock the Coke machine.
Yeah.
Give me diet, give me caffeine free, give me vanilla. Do it now. Bill, we'll see you tomorrow. At some point between 8 and 10, bud, at the Single Barrel for the spring game pregame.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot, and thanks for a little chuckle here on a tough day. But great job by you guys and Motsi, and be safe, everybody.
Bill, appreciate you. There he is, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, the professor, and good to get his perspective today. Matthew checks in. And, we've got the DeBoer connection. That's good. Klausburn will join us next.